Look at your sheet. This morning we are going to learn something from this portion of the Bible known as Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 14. We know that this is a special occasion. Once a year only we meet like this. Some of you do not come to church except on occasions like this. But never mind, it is a good occasion to meet. And as you can see from the sheet, we entitle it Good Tidings of Great Joy. Now, I'm going to speak from this passage. And this passage gives us the title, Good Tidings and Great Joy. And as we come to this occasion to celebrate Christmas, we want to remember that it is the celebration of the coming of the Son of God who appeared in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened was, long ago, the prophets have already foretold the coming of a Savior. We shall say more about this Savior in a moment. But remember, it has been foretold. And so, in the nation of Israel in those days, there were people waiting for the arrival of that Savior. And the Word of God, the Old Testament, the part of the Bible that was already written before the coming of Christ, the Old Testament had already spread through many parts of the world since the days of Daniel, the prophet, since the days of Esther, the queen, and so throughout Russia, spreading all the way to North China, to North India, to the what we call the Middle East today, and spreading, touching the south of Europe. So already, the Old Testament scriptures had gone out throughout the world. And some wise men in the East had been studying the scriptures, and they too were waiting for this coming, the coming of this promised Savior. That was why when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, there were wise men in the East who knew the time had come, and so they made the long journey all the way to Jerusalem to look for this King of the Jews who was born. So that is the background. So the time has arrived. The time of the Savior to be born has arrived. So what happened was that an angel appeared. An angel appeared to a group of shepherds who were taking care of the sheep in the fields outside Jerusalem. And the shepherd announced to them the good news of the coming of the Savior. And that gives rise to this passage. The words of the angel is recorded for us. And after the angel had spoken to the shepherds, suddenly many angels appeared everywhere on the mountainside, everywhere. And we are reminded of the days of old, in the days of the prophet Elijah, when he prayed to God to open the eyes of his servant, and he saw the armies of God everywhere. So this is a similar occasion. One angel appeared to the shepherds and spoke to them the good news. Then suddenly their eyes were opened. They saw so many of God's angels everywhere on the mountainside. And they were singing praise to this Savior who has come. So this is the background. And now we are going to launch into the study of this passage. Secara ringkas, pada masa itu, orang-orang Yahudi sedang menunggu kedatangan Juru Selamat yang dijanjikan oleh Tuhan melalui nabi-nabi dalam zaman perjanjian lama. Dan bukan mereka sahaja, tetapi di banyak tempat di seluruh dunia yang sememangnya sudah ada terima perjanjian lama, yaitu bahagian Alkitab perjanjian lama itu. Sejak zaman Nabi Daniel dan juga sejak Ratu Esther pada masa itu, Alkitab sudah disiarkan di merata-rata. Jadi ada orang yang bijaksana dari sebelah timur, mereka mengkaji firman Tuhan, dan mereka sudah tahu masanya sudah tiba untuk kedatangan Juru Selamat itu. Itulah sebabnya segolongan orang bijak itu datang dari timur dan menuju ke Israel untuk mencari Raja Yahudi yang akan dilahirkan. Itu latar belakangnya. Dan pada masa itu, bila masanya sudah tiba, malaikat pun muncul dan bercakap, berkata-kata kepada gembala-gembala yang berada di luar Yerusalem. Selepas itu, malaikat-malaikat yang lain pula, beribu-ribu mereka kelihatan oleh gembala-gembala yang ada pada masa itu. Now, from this passage, I want to draw out three points. We want to ask the question, what? Then we want to ask the question, who? Then we want to ask the question, how? The first question we want to ask is, what? What is Christmas all about? Now, we are told here that it is good news, as we have already seen. The angel announced to the shepherds that he has brought good news of glad tidings. Good news that will bring gladness to the hearts of the people. So this is good news, but good news concerning who? About what? We will have more to say about who and what in a moment. But what we want to take note of at the moment is that Christmas is not about eating and drinking, about buying and then enjoying ourselves in the shopping mall. Now, while it is not wrong to enjoy ourselves, but more important is that we come to seek to know God. We come to worship the coming of the Savior who has come. We come to worship Him, just like the shepherd in those days, just like many people. They came to worship the King of the Jews, the Savior of the world. So they came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is so good for us to come together to church instead of being in a shopping mall or somewhere else. Later, many of you may be going there. I do not know. I do not want you to feel guilty about going. But what I want to say to you is, you are doing the right thing by coming to church first. Because Christmas is about the coming of the Savior. And we must come to hear what God's Word has to say about Christmas. Now, Christmas involves celebration. Celebration of the coming of the one who has been promised. It is not wrong to celebrate the coming of the Savior. Because the Bible shows that the angels celebrated, the shepherds celebrated, the people from the east came to celebrate the coming of the Savior. We have biblical precedent. We have biblical example of celebration of the coming of the Savior. But we must celebrate it in the right way, in the spiritual way. We must come to hear God's Word. We must come and sing praises to the coming of the Savior. We must come to worship God. So you see now, the occasion is the occasion of the bringing of good news that should stir our hearts up in praise of God. It is good tidings or good news. Jadi, apa dia Christmas? Christmas ialah masa di mana, waktu di mana kita datang untuk menyembah Tuhan kita. Kerana Juru Selamat yang sudah dijanjikan, dia sudah sampai. Dia sudah dilahirkan sebagai Yesus Kristus pada masa tertentu. Pada masa itu, orang menyembah Tuhan. Malaikat menyanyi dan para gembala semua pergi menyembah Yesus Kristus yang dilahirkan. Adalah baik kita datang ke gereja untuk beribadah. Lebih baik dari ke tempat-tempat jual beli, tempat membeli belah, ke toko-toko. Kita ke gereja. Tetapi kita seharusnya meraikan Christmas dengan cara yang betul. Kita datang untuk mendengar kata-kata Tuhan, firman Tuhan, dan kita datang menyembah Tuhan kerana kedatangan Juru Selamat kita. Then you take note that it is good news from God to man in order that there will be great joy in man. Now, when was the last time you were truly joyful? Now, each of us have different experiences, but I would like you to think back. When was the last time you were truly joyful? Bilakah masanya kamu benar-benar gembira. Jarang-jarang sekali kita benar-benar gembira. Jadi imbas balik, pikir. Dalam kebelakangan ini, siapakah di antara kita yang benar-benar gembira? So what I want to say to you is, seldom are we truly joyful. And our joy is often temporary. Our joy is never lasting. But God has brought this good news to us in order that our joy may be full. In other words, we will truly be joyful. And this joy is not going to be a temporary thing. It is going to last forever. Now you say that is too far-fetched, quite unbelievable. Can there be a joy that lasts forever? But the Bible gives us this promise that indeed there is a joy that will last forever. Now you may be asking next, are you trying to say to me that if I get this joy, I will never suffer in this world. I'll never be sad. I'll never face with disappointment. Now I want to say to you that that is not the case. I'm not saying that once you receive this joy, you're never going to suffer or be sad in any way. But what I'm trying to say to you is that this joy can exist even though you suffer in this world. This joy can continue to exist even though you are disappointed in this world. This joy is a special joy given to us by God through this good news about Jesus Christ. And this joy will remain with you forever. And if anything, I can say to you that as the days go by, this joy is going to increase. This is an unusual joy. This is not the joy of the world. The joy of the world is only temporary. It comes and it goes. But the joy that God is going to give us is going to be something that is permanent, and it is going to grow and grow and grow. It will never be taken away. If you receive this good news concerning the coming of the Savior. So Christmas then is about the message of God concerning the Savior, which will give us this special joy. Therefore, if you seek your joy in just eating and drinking, or going shopping, or going to have your dancing or whatever, now you will realize that that is not the joy talked about in the Bible. The joy promised by the Bible is a lasting joy that remains with you even though you face with various trials in this world. And this joy has to do with the message concerning Jesus Christ, the Savior who has come. So then we have answered the first question, what is Christmas all about? It is about the joy that God wants to give us that will be lasting, and it arises from the message concerning Jesus Christ. That means that we must move on to talk now about this person, Jesus Christ. Jadi apakah dia Christmas? Apa dia ke hari Natal? Hari Natal sebenarnya mengenai kegembiraan, sukacita yang Tuhan ingin memberikan kepada kita. Sukacita itu akan berkekalan. Dia tidak akan lenyap. Dia tidak akan diambil oleh orang lain. Dia akan sentiasa berada dengan kamu. Dan kegembiraan ini, sukacita ini, timbul kerana berita baik mengenai kedatangan Juru Selamat ke kita. Itu maksud hari Natal. Itu maksud Christmas. Jadi kalau kita hanya mendapat kegembiraan melalui ketokohan, membeli belah, itu bukan kegembiraan yang dinyatakan dalam Alkitab. Sekiranya kegembiraan kita hanya bersandar pada makan dan minum, atau mengajar, menari saja, itu pun bukan kegembiraan yang dinyatakan dalam Alkitab. Yang dinyatakan Alkitab ialah kegembiraan atau sukacita yang ajaib, yang istimewa, yang Tuhan ingin berikan kepada sesiapa yang menerima berita baik mengenai Yesus Kristus. Maka dengan itu kita seharusnya tahu siapakah dia sebenarnya, Yesus Kristus ini. So that moves on, that leads us to the second main point. Who is Jesus Christ? Look at the passage again. The passage uses three words to describe him. The first word is Savior. The second word is Christ. The third word is Lord. Now we must truly understand what the Bible is saying about Jesus Christ. He is first of all our Savior. He is the one who is supposed to come to save us from our sins. The Savior of the world is not a politician. He is not a military ruler. And that was where the Jews of Jesus Christ's time made the big mistake. They were expecting the coming of a military ruler, a king who would come to lead them to overthrow the Romans who were ruling over Israel at that time. And they were badly mistaken. And up to today, many Jews are looking for the coming of a certain Messiah, a certain Savior, when the Messiah has actually come. If you know the nature and the task of this Savior, then you will look for no other. You will believe that Jesus Christ is actually that promised Savior. Jadi siapakah Yesus Kristus? Yesus Kristus itu diberi gelaran, tiga gelaran. Pertama, dia itu Juru Selamat. Kedua, dia Kristus. Dan ketiga, dia Tuhan. Jadi kita seharusnya mempelajari mengenai Yesus Kristus melalui tiga gelaran ini. Gelaran pertama ialah dia itu Juru Selamat. Juru Selamat itu bukan seorang ahli politik. Dia bukan seorang militeris. Dia bukan raja yang datang menentang dengan kekerasan seperti yang dijangka oleh orang-orang Yahudi pada masa itu. Sehingga sekarang banyak orang Yahudi sedang menunggu kedatangan seorang Mesias, seorang Juru Selamat. Tetapi kalau mereka tahu sifat dan tugas Juru Selamat sebenarnya itu, mereka tidak akan menunggu kedatangan mana-mana Juru Selamat lain. Mereka akan percaya bahwa Yesus Kristus ialah Juru Selamat yang dijanjikan. So Jesus Christ is that promised Savior. When he arrived, John the Baptist pointed to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So Jesus Christ comes to save us from sin. Jesus Christ comes to save us from the effects of sin. Now, sin creates havoc in our life. We inherited a sinful nature from our forefather Adam. That is why from whatever cultural background you may be, you share the same sinful nature. That is why in any culture you discover, children grow up beginning to tell lies. Children grow up and they rebel against their parents. Children soon grow up and begin to think of crooked ways of getting their what they want. Now, this is common to everyone, everywhere. Now, you can't explain it well except by what the Bible teaches. Namely, that we were all actually descended from one pair of parents. And because our first parent, Adam, sinned against God, that sinful nature has been transmitted down to us. That is why all of us, without exception, share that crooked, twisted nature. Although good can be found in us, but it is never really perfectly good. Left to ourselves, our inclination is to turn in the direction of evil. And that is why when we grow up, you discover people cheat, people bribe, people are corrupt, people are unfaithful. Yes, there are many corrupt people in the world. There are many liars in the world. There are many unfaithful people in the world. Perhaps while I speak, you know that this applies to you. And we all know that to some degree or other, we are corrupt. Where does all this corruption come from? It comes from a nature that is sinful. Jadi, kita seharusnya tahu bahwa Yesus Kristus, Juru Selamat, dari dosa-dosa kita. Dia datang menyelamatkan kita dari dosa dan kesan-kesan dosa akibat dosa. Itulah sebabnya Yohanes Pembaptis apabila dia ternampak Yesus Kristus, dia menunjuk kepadanya dan kata, "Inilah domba yang mengalihkan dosa kita." Yesus Kristus datang menyelamatkan kita dari dosa-dosa kita. Kita semua, tak kira latar belakang kita, kita semua keturunan Adam. Bapa kita, nenek moyang kita itu satu saja. Dan kerana dia sudah memberontak dan tidak taat kepada Tuhan, maka sifat berdosanya sudah diwarisi kita. Kita semua mempunyai sifat yang berdosa. So you see now that Jesus Christ came as Savior to save us from our sin. Then, secondly, Jesus is described as the Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one. The one that is shown to be the chosen of God. Now, in the Old Testament times, three officers were chosen by God and anointed. They were prophets, priests, and kings. Now, if a person is chosen by God to be a prophet, that will be shown by oil being poured on the person's head. Now, this is to say, this person is set apart, chosen by God, to do the work of a prophet. Similarly, when a person is chosen to be a priest, to help people offer up worship to God, that person will be anointed by oil. Oil will be poured on his head. Now, this is to show that this person is chosen by God, set apart to be a priest, to help people worship God. And similarly, when the king was appointed in the nation of Israel, he would be anointed with oil to show that this person is now chosen by God to be the king over his people, the nation of Israel. So you see now, only these three officers require the anointing with oil, prophets, priests, and kings. But we never find a perfect prophet in the Old Testament days. And we never find a perfect priest. We never find a perfect king. Take for example, King David. He was the greatest king in the nation of Israel. That is in their history. But David committed adultery. And David also murdered. So you see now, David, although he's a man after God's own heart, he was never perfect. And all these prophets, priests, and kings who were so imperfect but were nevertheless chosen by God to be his servants caused the nation of Israel to wonder, will there be a prophet who is perfect who would come? And they began to wonder, would there be a priest who would be perfect unlike our imperfect priests in the nation? Then it caused them to wonder, will there be a perfect king who will come and rule over us? So the purpose then of having these prophets, priests, and kings was to cause the people to look forward and expect the coming of someone who will be prophet, priest, and king in a perfect way. And when Jesus Christ arrived, the Bible teaches us that he is our prophet, because he has come to reveal God to us by his words and in his person. Those who have seen Jesus Christ have seen God. Those who have known Jesus Christ have known God. Similarly, Jesus Christ is our high priest. The priest in the nation of Israel helped the people to offer up animals as sacrifices to God. Now this was to show that the people needed to die, but the animals took their place. Their sins were transferred to the animals, and the animals were killed, and the blood was shed. Now this is to show that all of us need to die because we have sinned against God. And when God punishes us, our death will be eternal damnation in hell. So in order to be saved from sin and the consequences of sin, someone perfect has to come and stand in our place and take away our punishment. And that is Jesus Christ. He came as our high priest to offer up not an animal. He acted as high priest to help us offer something. But what is that something? He actually became the sacrifice himself. He offered himself. The high priest became also the perfect sacrifice. He offered himself. He died in the place of those he had come to save. And then now Jesus Christ is king. He rules over the church. He rules over the hearts of those who believe in him. And we know that he rules over the whole universe, even though people do not recognize him as king. But the day will come when he will return to judge the world. And we know that every knee will bow to him. Every mouth will confess that He is Lord and God. We know that that will happen because the Bible has already told us that. So Jesus Christ is the perfect prophet, priest and king in one person. That's why He can be our mediator, the person between God and man. He's the middle person to bring us to God. He is the perfect mediator because He is prophet, priest and king in a perfect way. Jadi Yesus Kristus, dia ialah Kristus. Dia dipanggil Kristus kerana dia itu diurapi sebagai orang yang dipilih Tuhan. Dia ialah yang diutus Tuhan untuk menjadi juru selamat kita. Dalam zaman perjanjian lama, hanya ada 3 pejabat sahaja yang diurapi dengan minyak, iaitu Nabi, Imam dan juga Raja. Tetapi dalam sejarah Israel, tidak seorang pun Nabi atau Imam atau Raja yang sempurna. Setiap satu dari mereka itu tidak sempurna. Itu menyebabkan orang Yahudi mengharapkan kedatangan seorang yang benar-benar sempurna sebagai Nabi, Imam dan juga Raja. Dan itulah dia, Yesus Kristus. Dia sudah sampai. Dia dalam seorangnya, dalam oknumnya itu, dalam persendiriannya itu. Dia itu Nabi yang sempurna. Dia itu Imam besar yang sempurna. Dia Raja yang sempurna. Dia menyatakan Tuhan kepada kita. Maka dia itu Nabi. Dan dia mengorbankan bukannya binatang tetapi diri sendirinya. Dia itu Imam dan dia juga menjadi korban untuk kita. Dan dia Raja kepada semua raja. Dia kawal, dia memerintah kehidupan orang-orang kepunyaannya. Kita yang percaya kepadanya, kita jadikan dia Raja dalam hati kita. Tapi dalam satu hari nanti, apabila Yesus Kristus pulang untuk menghakimi seluruh dunia, keseluruh dunia akan menunduk kepadanya dan mengaku bahawa dia benar-benar Raja, dia benar-benar Tuhan kepada semua orang. Satu hari itu akan terjadi. Jadi Yesus ialah Kristus, dia yang diurapi sebagai Nabi, Imam dan Raja. So Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the one chosen to be the perfect prophet, priest and king. And finally, Jesus is Lord. Now the word Lord can mean sir, just or master. But in the Bible, the word Lord is without exception applied to Jesus Christ as the covenant name of God. Let me explain. In the Old Testament times, God revealed to him, his people by a name. But his name was too holy that the Jews did not dare utter the name. So they used the initial, which is equivalent to our J-V-H. So today people wonder, what does J-V-H stand for? The reason why they put down J-V-H is because they did not want people to pronounce the name of God, because the name of God was too holy to be pronounced. So now Bible scholars have to fill in the gap. So sometimes they put down J, V, in between they put down A. Then between V and H they put down E. Oh, that is a possibility. Yahweh. So that is one possibility how the name of God sounded. But there is another possibility. You put down E, O, A. So Jehovah. See? Now that is another possibility. So we do not know exactly for sure, but we do know that that is the covenant name of God, represented by the letters J, V, H. So today we just say Yahweh or Jehovah, the covenant name of God. God comes to be the God of His people. His chosen people becomes His special people. So they know this God as Yahweh or Jehovah. But when translated into the Greek language in the New Testament, what do you call that God? They use the word Lord. So every time the word Lord is used with reference to Jesus Christ, we know that it is referring to Him as the covenant God. So the name Lord, therefore, refers to Jesus as God. It is not just ordinary sir. If you read just sir in the Bible, you discover it does not make much sense. But if you say the Lord Jesus Christ, God who is Jesus Christ, then it makes sense. So what I want to say to you is this, that Jesus Christ must be recognized as God, because God exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. From eternity in the past, the three persons of the Godhead have already made an agreement to come and save for himself a people. God already foresaw that the human race will rebel against him. The human race will become sinful. The human race will go its own way. And God will have to judge them. And these people will perish in their sin. But God, in his mercy, out of his love, he decides to choose certain people to be saved. And how are they going to be saved? In order for them to be saved, their sinful nature must be made clean. And their wrong acts of sin against God must be paid for, so that God can be seen to be just. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, has already agreed in eternity to one day come and take on perfect human nature. And in one person, as God and man, he will be our sacrifice. He will be our mediator. He will be our savior. So Jesus Christ then came and died on the cross to take away the punishment of our sins. And he gives us his righteousness so that we can be accepted by God. So you see now that that is how Jesus Christ came to save us. So when we turn from our sin to trust in Jesus Christ, we are owning him as the Lord of our lives. He is our God. He is our Savior. So that is what is man. So you must own Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, for he has come to lay down his life to save those who trust in him. Yesus Kristus ada gelaran yang ketiga, yaitu dia Tuhan. Tuhan itu sebenarnya bermaksud oknum yang kedua dalam Tuhan yang benar. Kita tahu Tuhan itu satu saja, tetapi ada tiga oknum, tiga persendirian, yaitu Tuhan Bapa, Tuhan Anak, dan Tuhan Roh Kudus. Dari kekekalan yang lepas, ketiga-tiga persendirian atau oknum dalam Tuhan itu sudah membuat perjanjian bahwa mereka akan selamatkan segolongan orang yang berdosa. Dan Yesus Kristus sebagai oknum yang kedua sudah pun datang. Dia sudah sampai ke dunia ini. Dia sudah mengambil untuk diri sendiri jasad atau badan yang sempurna. Dia benar-benar manusia yang sempurna, tidak ada dosa. Dan dalam masa yang sama, dia ialah Tuhan. Dia dalam satu persendirian itu, dalam satu oknum itu, dia benar-benar Tuhan dan dia benar-benar manusia. Dan dia mati atas salib untuk menanggung segala-gala hukuman yang diperlukan oleh mereka yang berdosa, yang percaya kepadanya. Sekiranya kita bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus, maka Tuhan tidak perlu lagi menghukum kita kerana hukuman kita itu sudah dipikul oleh Yesus Kristus. Kristus menggantikan kita sebagai korban untuk menerima hukuman Tuhan bagi pihak kita. Dan dalam yang masa yang sama, sekiranya kita bertobat dan percaya kepadanya, kebenarannya dianggap kita punya. Dan Tuhan boleh menerima kita kerana kebenaran Yesus Kristus berada pada kita. Sesiapa saja yang benar-benar bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus, Yesus sudah menjadi Tuhan kepada mereka. So we must come to understand that Jesus Christ must be received as Savior. He must be received as the Christ, the anointed one, the perfect mediator between God and man. And we must accept him as our Lord, our God, the one who alone can save us. You see now that Christmas is about Jesus Christ. And you must understand Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to be the Christ, the anointed one, chosen by God to be our mediator. And also he must be your God. You must submit your life to him in order to be saved from sin. So we have covered the second part. Who is Jesus Christ? Kita sudah habis Perkara kedua, siapakah dia Yesus Kristus? Now we come to the last part. How would he save us? Now we are told by the angel there, in the words there, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now Jesus Christ came to glorify God. He wants us to come to share together in this glory of God. Now Jesus Christ did not do anything on his own. He always came to fulfill his Father's will. And he wants his people to come and live to glorify God. And indeed, all true Christians will want to live to glorify God and not live to please themselves. Jadi kita memuliakan Tuhan. Yesus Kristus datang untuk memuliakan nama Bapa-Nya. Sesiapa yang percaya kepada-Nya dan ada Dia sebagai Tuhan mereka, mereka itu akan juga hidup untuk memuliakan Tuhan. We live to glorify God, not to please ourselves. So those are true Christians. All true Christians would want to glorify God. They would not just do things to please themselves. How would you glorify God? You would want to know the Bible's teaching and do it. That is to glorify God. Sesiapa yang ingin memuliakan Tuhan akan mempelajari ajaran Alkitab dan melakukannya. Itu cara kita memuliakannya. Then we are told, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Now a lot of people wrongly understand this. They thought that Christmas is about peace between men, so we don't quarrel. And they like to talk and focus their attention upon men. In other words, they are only looking at things at a horizontal level. They don't look at things in the vertical level. They don't see their relationship to God. Instead, they see their relationship between men. So they want all men to have peace between themselves. So Christmas, get together, let's have peace. Now while that may appear good, but it is only very minimal good. What the Bible is referring to is our peace with God. And that is more important. Why? Because it is eternal. It affects our eternity. And furthermore, when we have peace with God, then only we have true peace between men. If men try to have peace between themselves without reference to God, they will never get that peace. See now why it is so important to have that peace with God. Jadi apa yang disebut aman di sini, keamanan itu bukan di antara manusia, tetapi di antara manusia dengan Tuhan. Now this is to show to us that we are estranged from God. We are enemies of God. Why? Because since the day of Adam, we have sinned against God. In our own lives, we have sinned against God. We do not do what God requires of us. God wants us to worship Him, but we have not worshipped Him in the way He prescribed. God wants us to obey Him, but we have not obeyed Him. We live as though we are the master of our own life. We live without reference to our God. Now just think of yourself. Growing up in a family, you have father and mother. Now imagine, if you deny your father, you tell people, oh, I don't have father. But people say, you know, hey, isn't that your father? He said, I don't know him. You see? Now that is bad. That is rude. That is not acceptable to any culture anywhere in the world. You straight away will say, this is wrong. You can't say that about your father. You came from your father. How can you deny your father like that? See? Now you feel rightly angry. Right? But just think. Our life is from God. Our world is from God. Our health is from God. All that we enjoy is from God. But we have not acknowledged Him. We deny Him. We want to live life our own way without reference to God. We have sinned so terribly against our God. And you think that God will let us go just as we like? God is just. God is holy. He's perfectly righteous. And therefore, any sin, any wrong against Him must be punished by Him. So don't say, you know, don't talk about punishment to me. We don't want to have guilty feelings. It is right that we feel guilty because we have done wrong. If we have not done wrong, then we don't have to feel guilty. The fact that we feel guilty shows that we have done wrong. Then therefore, the way to deal with our guilt is not to run away from the problem, The way to deal with it is to face it. Face it. Confront it and see what can be done. And I invite you this morning to come and face your guilt before God. God wants to give you peace. God wants you to be reconciled to Him, to be friend with Him again. But before that, your sin must be dealt with. And Christ, as we have seen already, has come to die in the place of sinners. So if you come to trust in Christ, you make up your mind no more to live for yourself, but come to trust in Christ. Your sin is regarded as taken away by Christ. The righteousness of Christ is regarded as given to you so that you can be at peace with God. So that is the peace we are talking about. Kita tiada keamanan dengan Tuhan. Kita sudah berdosa. Yesus Kristus, seperti mana kita sudah belajar, datang untuk mengorbankan diri untuk orang-orang berdosa. Sekiranya kita bertobat dan percaya kepadanya, dosa-dosa kita dikira diambilnya dan kebenarannya dianggap kita punya. Dengan cara itulah kita dapat keamanan dengan Tuhan. Keamanan dengan Tuhan itu lebih penting kerana dia berkekalan. Dan dengan adanya keamanan dengan Tuhan, barulah kita ada keamanan di antara manusia. And finally, we are told that peace and goodwill. Now, again, a lot of people misunderstand. They think that goodwill means we have peace between people, then we show goodwill. That means we can't be kind to other people. But again, that is the wrong understanding. Because the word goodwill in the original language, in the Greek language, is shown everywhere in the New Testament to mean God's good pleasure towards man. And as an example, I will read to you Luke chapter 10, verse 21, which is not on your sheet, but it is in the Bible. So I will read to you Luke chapter 10, and verse 21, it says this: In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in your sight. Now, it seemed good. The word good is the same, exactly the same word as the word goodwill found in Luke chapter 2. So, who is feeling good towards whom? It is actually good God showing his good pleasure towards man. So back to Luke chapter 2 in your passage, you discover it says, and on earth peace, which I've seen, it is peace between God and man. And goodwill, that is goodwill of God shown toward man. Now that is the correct understanding. In other words, goodwill is not something that you earn from God. Goodwill is something God shows to you freely. You cannot earn that goodwill. You cannot earn peace. God freely show it to you. So that is the constant teaching of the Bible. When we say salvation is by grace, the word grace basically means God's goodness shown to people who are undeserving. That is what is meant by goodwill. So this passage correctly understood means that the good news that will bring joy to you is about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. So now, if you come to repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ, then you will have peace with God. But you can have peace with God only when God shows His good pleasure towards you. So your salvation is therefore not dependent on who you are or how good you are or what you are going to do. Even if you do a lot of good, those good things that you have done will not be good enough to earn favor with God. God must show His good pleasure towards you. That means the only way for you, the only thing you can do is to come to God and plead for Him for mercy. Plead to God for mercy. God, do not pass me by. God, show me mercy. God, I know that I cannot do anything good to save myself. You must save me. You must give me faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Turn me from my sinful life and trust in Christ. Give me this faith. You say, oh, that is tough teaching, hard teaching. I always thought that I can do something to make God accept me. But no, The Bible's constant teaching is no, 100 times no. You cannot save yourself. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. Jadi kita seharusnya mengerti bahwa aman dan sejahtera. Sejahtera itu bukan sejahtera di antara manusia. Sejahtera itu ialah kebaikan Tuhan kepada mereka yang tak layak menerimanya. Itulah maksudnya. Dalam Alkitab, di mana-mana pun, kita diajar bahwa keselamatan kita ialah melalui kasih karunia Tuhan. Kasih karunia itu ialah sesuatu yang diberikan Tuhan secara percuma kepada orang yang tidak layak menerimanya. Jadi kita tidak dapat membuat sesuatu yang baik supaya Tuhan menerima kita. Tidak. Kita tidak boleh membeli keselamatan kita. Maka kita terkena datang ke Tuhan dan memohonnya. Memintanya jangan melepaskan kita. Jangan melewati kita. Terimalah aku ini yang berdosa. Kita terkena datang kepada Yesus semacam itu. So we must now draw to a close. We have asked 3 questions. What is Christmas all about? It is about the good news concerning Jesus Christ that will bring you everlasting joy. Okay. Jadi kita sudah tanya 3 soalan. Soalan pertama ialah apa dia Christmas? Apa dia hari Natal? Hari Natal itu mengenai berita baik yang bersangkutan dengan Yesus Kristus, Juru Selamat kita. Supaya sesiapa yang terimanya akan mendapat kegembiraan, kesukaan yang kekal. Itu dia hari Natal. Then we have asked the second question, who is Jesus Christ? We know Jesus Christ is the Savior who saves us from our sin. He is the Christ, the anointed one, who is the perfect mediator, middle person between God and man. And He is the Lord, He is God, God over all gods, King over all kings. We must come to receive Him as our Lord, our Savior. Then finally we ask, jadi soalan kedua ialah siapa dia Yesus Kristus? Dia ialah Juru Selamat. Dia yang diurapi Tuhan. Dia ialah Tuhan sendiri. Then finally, how would He save us? He would save us by drawing us to glorify God, just as He has come to glorify God. And He has come to save us by showing to us the way to have peace with God through His death on the cross. And He has come by giving Himself to us to show that that is God's goodwill towards us. If God does not show His goodwill towards us, none of us will be saved. So in conclusion then, the challenge to all of us here present today is whether you will come to celebrate Christmas in the way intended, that you will come to submit your life to Jesus Christ and confess your sins and acknowledge Him as your Lord, as your Savior, as your God. Is Jesus really Savior, Christ and Lord to you? Come to Him. Come to Him as your Lord, as your Savior, and then you will have that joy eternal. Christmas is good news concerning Jesus Christ that will bring you great joy, bring you eternal joy. May God save all of us present here today. Kita seharusnya datang ke Yesus Kristus dan percaya kepadanya, tunduk kepadanya sebagai Juru Selamat kita, sebagai Dia Kristus yang diurapi Tuhan untuk menjadi pengantara kita. Dan juga tunduk kepadanya sebagai Tuhan kita. Dengan cara itulah hari Natal menjadi hari di mana berita baik disampaikan kepada kita. Supaya kita mendapat kesukaan atau kegembiraan yang kekal, yang besar. Moga-moga kita semua akan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus dan terselamat.